And we're back one final time here on Oklahoma Engaged, live voice of the voter. I am Logan Layden, managing editor here at KGOU. I've got Dick Pryor, the general manager of KGOU. He's joined by Amy Sue Gooden with OU Poll, who we've based so much of the stories we've done this election season off of. We also have our two reporters, Kately Mills and Robbie Korth, with us still for the last part of the hour. It's an end of an era, Dick. We've been doing this show for a month, and just when we got it down, it's time to say goodbye. But we'll be back, of course, next week. Everybody's going to want to tune in on election night, not only for our national coverage on NPR and our local cut-ins, but also for our second screen experience with me and Rachel Hubbard and yourself and all kinds of panelists and guests that night as we look at the local races. But in the meantime, let's continue the conversation we were having before the break there.
Sure. And I want to talk to Amy a little bit more about what we were discussing just before the break, which is where Oklahoma voters tend to get their information. And then I know you have a couple of questions for Robbie and Kately, and I have one for them as well. But let's go beyond the debate, which seemed to be very important to voters across the board. Faith and the influence of religious leaders is much higher among Republicans in Oklahoma. It's third overall. It ranks low among Democrats and independents. Is that consistent with findings you've seen over the years?
It is, and it just speaks to those kind of those social identity issues that we have and how we kind of affiliate our choices and how they influence our behaviors.
I thought it was also, do you have anything else on that?
No.
Okay, I thought it was also interesting, maybe shocking, but social media, Facebook and Twitter, are the lowest ranked sources of information for all groups. And the numbers actually are very low.
They are. They were almost non-existent in our scale, below, you know, one on that 0 to 10 scale, which is kind of interesting in light of all the hype we see and talking about, you know, tweeting and censorship, because it's in the media every day. So I don't know if it's a function of people not wanting to admit they're active users, or if it just really is not meaningful to the average individual out there.
And that was especially low for Republicans. And as far as media consumption overall, the OU poll research that you did indicates Republicans rely a lot less on the news media of all kinds than do independents and Democrats. Is that also consistent year to year? And second, does age matter in those preferences?
I think in terms of these sources that we're looking at, age does matter, but it's the types of messages, right? Because most of the people that I see and in the media and in the analysis, those people, the younger people actually tend to focus a lot on other messages from like Snapchat and Instagram, for instance. And those were some media sources that we didn't really touch on. And I think it would be interesting to find out how much those roles really play out, and maybe we're kind of tapping some of the wrong sources out there.
Well, it could be true. And also TikTok is playing a role, and gaming devices as well. So a lot of younger voters are being reached through games. And that's something we did not test during this. Logan, you have a couple of other questions, right?
Well, sure. Yes, indeed. And I want to kind of bring our reporters back in just a little bit. You know, when it comes to the OU poll that was conducted, again, a lot of our reporting is kind of trying to bounce off of that and analyze it. In general, when it comes to religion as a motivator for voters, that's something we're going to be looking into midweek from our KGOU reporter, Caitlin Howard. And it was kind of an interesting aspect of that story that she's working on, that there's this gulf. I mean, if you're an evangelical, they also don't fall into one block, one voting group, all for Trump or all for Biden. You can find evangelicals on both sides. I wonder, were there differences between men and women as far as the impact that religion has on the influencing of the vote that we saw in the poll? Because some of the more kind of stark differences I saw throughout the poll were between men and women. When it comes to the religious aspect of that, did you see that?
So there is some break in there. in terms of religious affiliation. At the personal level, among men and women, women are slightly higher to rate it. However, that distance on terms of personal traits is not a statistically significant difference. It was just a nominal difference in how they evaluate it personally in terms of an influence. But looking at it in terms of, you know, and even as faith and religious leaders, they're pretty balanced in terms of how they focus on those as information sources out there and how it influences their decision making.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and certainly some of the more interesting aspects of the poll were the questions related to the COVID-19 response. I want to bring Kately Mills in here. We had talked just briefly there in that first segment about this audio postcard that you're going to be doing this week that everyone will hear on not only our station, but across our public radio partners stations that kind of focused on unemployment. That's been one of the big factors in the COVID-19 pandemic is all the people who have lost their jobs or were furloughed. Tell me just a little bit more, Kately, about what you found in talking to these people and what we can expect to hear from you.
Yeah, so both of the people that I talked to, they both got laid off in the early part of the year. They weren't expecting it to happen. One was able to find a job within like a month's time. The other took a little bit longer, working part-time, but it's still up to a 40-hour thing. But I think what's interesting about one of the people that I talked to was that, you know, this before this year, she wasn't particularly, I mean, she voted. It wasn't like she was a non-active voter, but this year when it happened, she found like, you know, this, I do have time to actually, you know, give some of my time to the campaign of my choice. So she started doing phone banks and all kinds of stuff. And she's like, you know, this was something that I wasn't expecting to do. And, but both of them in the, that I interviewed talked about how, you know, the experience of being unemployed didn't change how they planned to vote at all. In fact, it, for some of them, especially for the woman I interviewed, it solidified it, you know, so it made her even more like having going through the unemployment process. It made her want to be more active and put more of her opinions out there on her social media platforms. And she even had, you know, she's like, you know, I even talked to my parents about all this stuff and they're not, you know, the same politically, you know, motivated like I am, like they don't have the same political views, but there is a respect there. They're proud of her for actually, you know, she told me, she's like, yeah, they were really proud of me for donating some of my time to the campaign of my choice. And so I think what's been kind of something that I know we've talked about, Logan, with these audio postcards is steering away from having people say who they're voting for or say who their affiliation is, because I feel like it's almost like, you know, it's kind of sad because whenever you talk to voters, sometimes it's like they hear Republican or Democrat and it just shuts off. Like nobody wants to engage with it past that point. So that was like one of the reasons why I started doing the postcards in this way. It was so, you know, you don't necessarily know who this person's going to vote for. And maybe just maybe it has them listen a little deeper.
Listen a little deeper. And that's, you know, you both, Robbie and yourself had talked about that as you engaged with those students about how sort of open-minded they were, which is something that, you know, we right. kind of lost a little bit here in kind of our adult politics. So, you know, listening better, as a point of kind of personal privilege here, doing that audio postcard, engaging with these kids and trying to organize that, it isn't easy. I'd like for each of you to talk about, you know, how your reporting has been impacted by all of this. It wasn't easy for you, Kately, to find unemployed people to talk to you, right?
No, in fact, I was working on finding an unemployed person for another project on KOSU. And I know that I even put this on Twitter. I was like, I know this is like a really personal thing to ask somebody to talk about. And so I was really glad whenever, you know, Catherine, she has a way bigger Twitter following than I do. She like shared it and we got two people in. So it was actually the fastest that I was able to find somebody for a postcard after like months of like having a hard time, I guess. But but this year in general with reporting, you know, I'm immunocompromised. So it's like, it's been hard throughout the year with having to pick and choose, like, oh, is it safe enough to go to a certain area? Or is it safe for the people that I would go visit? Like, I live in the city and a lot of my projects this year were supposed to be rural outreach and stuff like that. So it's like, is it safe for me to go and visit these people? And that's been really hard. And with the postcards in general, you're interviewing these people over Zoom. And a lot of the times whenever I do it, I ask them to bring their phone along because Zoom audio can be kind of tricky. So I'm asking them to record themselves with their cell phones, and you're having to kind of play this, like teaching them how to be an audio journalist while also interviewing them. And it's I wouldn't have had experienced this without the pandemic, I guess. So
that's exactly right. And Robbie, we're on Zoom right now. I can see your glorious locks of hair, but the rest of the listeners cannot. And that's because you've been there in your apartment doing this reporting. Even this engagement with these students was done by remote. How has reporting during the pandemic affected you?
Well, I think the challenges you face reporting in a pandemic are just like the challenges that all of our listeners have faced. You have personal and ethical questions about how you behave. Do you wear a mask? Do you, remove yourself from certain situations through work? I've never in my career had so many sort of ethical questions about just, going to a place for a story. Because the coronavirus is, cases are at a record high right now. Hospitalizations are off the charts. So as we face this down, it's been like that all year. And so as we face this down, you have to weigh sort of your duty as a journalist to tell people that story with your duty as a human being to stop the spread and to keep the virus under control. And that's a real challenge. But I think, one worth taking on.
Well, it has been a challenge. And I mean, the name of this program, the name of our whole election project is Oklahoma Engaged for a reason, because we want to engage with people. And that's the point. And it certainly has been a challenge this year. But we've gotten around it in some creative ways. And what you and Kately did with the students last week was one of those. We were able to get voices from across the state, from Alvin to Duncan to Durant to Tulsa, Oklahoma City. So I encourage everyone to certainly stay tuned for the rest of the week so they can hear the product of your effort there. I know also Dick certainly appreciates your hard work and may have another question or two for you.
I do, but I want to ask Amy a question first, and that is this. What we're hearing is, of course, it's hard to report during the coronavirus pandemic. It's also hard to campaign. And one of the things that we indicated in the poll was that we saw in the poll was that Democrats tend to place a high value on actually meeting the candidate, which is very tough to do during a pandemic. But one thing that was consistent pretty much across the board is that sharing of values of voters, caring about people like you and having the same position on issues as voters was strong in each voting group, likely, unlikely, and then the ambivalent voters, but it was highest among likely voters. Does that tell us anything at all about the value of empathy in an election?
I think we need to somehow find a way to delve into that issue a little more, because we do see kind of those signs of empathy, but what we don't know is, what this means. We need to delve into the analysis a little more, because is it more a personalized story? What causes those people to make those types of connections to where it influences their voting behavior?
And now I have a question for Robbie and Kately, and it's a similar question, but it's for the younger people that are the ones that you recently talked to. And it seems, at least from my point of view, that they may place a high value on empathy and that they probably are less likely to buy into what we normally consider to be polarizing issues. Is that a fair representation? What did you find?
Definitely. I think that's a fair representation. I think we just, as we were having these discussions, there was just a certain level of respect amongst the students. Respect on not just for each other, but on the issues in general. They want, you know, they want what's best for the broader world, not just for themselves. And I think that there's a certain level of empathy and selflessness that really came across as we talked to them.
I would agree. You know, at the start of each conversation, we had to set some guidelines as to how we were going to have a productive conversation. And a lot of it was like, don't talk over each other, don't call each other names, actually listen to what somebody has to say before you, you know, let it affect your own opinion. And it's just a good reminder, I think, to, at least it was to me, that that's how a productive conversation should go, you know. So I definitely think that was a characteristic of the students we interviewed.
Amy, what about the age differences? So we have senior citizens who are reliable voters. Younger people tend not to be reliable voters, but it appears that they may be turning out in much bigger numbers this year. Where do they fall, number one? And number two, can you identify a voting group or groups that are most likely to make a big difference in this year's elections here in Oklahoma or nationally?
Oh my gosh. I'm not sure I can actually answer that question right now, just because it seems all over the board. I mean, on a lot of these issues that are really important to people, you know, those personal things, where we're talking about compassion and empathy and COVID and all that, I think across the board, we're seeing all those groups, we're seeing those important to influencing their vote decisions. So in terms of turning it into a prediction, I just can't even go there, because I just honestly don't know from what I'm seeing. Everything's so influential on that personal side.
Well, I think that particular answer is pretty good for the year 2020, which has put a lot of things up in the air. And we're feeling it right now as we head toward Election Day on November 3rd, when we will have Oklahoma Engage Live, Voice of the Voter, on the website, oklahomaengage.com, as well as on KGOU.org. And also we will have on KGOU, we'll have national results from NPR. Logan, it's been a great conversation, and Oklahoma Engage Live, Voice of the Voter, is nearing its final minute.
That's right. Well, thank you very much, Dick. Yes, we've had fun. Stay tuned, everybody, to KGOU, all our public radio stations, so much more election coverage to come in the next week or so. And then, of course, it all culminates on election night, or at least we hope it does. We'll see.
Working till midnight, homeschooling children, cleaning and cooking, the life of a single parent during the pandemic is an endurance marathon.
It's like Tetris trying to fix all the pieces so everything is covered.
I'm Audie Cornish. How single mothers are struggling this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
It's All Things Considered today from 4 to 7 on KGOU, your NPR source.
Your NPR source is KGOU Norman at 106.3 FM, KROU Spencer, Oklahoma City at 105.7 FM, KWOU Woodward at 88.1 FM, KQOU Clinton at 89.1 FM, and KOUA Ada at 90.